inspired by a star. Prepare great offerings of precious treasures. Three wise men inspired by a star. With joy begin a journey long and hard. Found the hope of every longing heart.
The Lord of all with an infant's cry, a holy child, the Son of the Most High. Oh, let us follow and enter in, come let us meet and worship Him.
Three wise men led only by a star, found the hope of every longing heart.
Thank you, and we welcome you to worship with us at Bethel Baptist Church. I know you can have a choice and worship in another church in the area, but you choose to be with us today, and I'm thankful that you are here this morning. And I'm thankful that you have come to praise the name of God. And also as well as those who are listening over the radio and KKNC. We have received a good number of people who tell us, especially seniors, who cannot go out. And they are listening to our broadcast and they are thanking us for paying the bill and putting this all together. We are grateful to be in their homes, grateful to be in some cars as they passing by, and they listen to 880 AM in Radio KKMC. But most of anything, we are grateful that we have a mighty and wonderful God. That's why John wrote in the Gospel in chapter 1 and in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then later on, as you move your eyes to verse 14, he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." These are the words on the Gospel of John. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless us today with great mighty power. That you will speak to us. That you will bring into our mind and into our heart the Word. That we may go home later with the presence of Christ. The admonition, instruction, and hope that your Word brings into our life. And as we look again into the book of Corinthians, we pray that the instructions given then 2,000 years ago will be good to our hearts and mind even today. We are grateful, Father, that you brought so many people here to worship this morning. We are grateful that you opened the radio waves for thousands of people across the South County, maybe in Carmel, maybe in Santa Cruz, to worship with you. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, we know that hundreds of them are in the tape ministry, And they are listening later on to these radio broadcasts, to this church service. And I'm thankful for each one of them, and especially for those who are saying the tape have been a blessing to their heart and to their friends. But Father, we go beyond that. We have missionaries in Spain, two of them. One in Ukraine. One in Managua, Nicaragua, who is suffering, our Pastor Mendoza. Lord, I pray that you may comfort him, give him strength, and let him know that we support him and that we are able to work even far away to give his freedom. Thank you, Lord, that he's a man of truth. He's a man who stands in the forces of evil. They never give up to a pastor who stands in the truth. Now, Father, we pray for the crisis center here in our town, because some babies were born this year because of the care, the instruction, and the counsel of the crisis center. And we are proud to be part of it with our little contribution every month to this missionary work. Thank you, Father, for that. We are grateful for this mighty nation called America. We are aware that the majority of the people are completely away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and away from God. A nation who is based on formalism, but not in reality today. But that's why we open the doors of the church, and that's why we pay the radio broadcast, so the others may know about God. And our hope is that as people turn to God, we turn the nation back to reality. There is a God, there is a Savior. There is a heaven, there is a hell. Father, bless our president. Grab his heart and his mind as he read the word and speak to him. Protect him, his wife, his daughter. And now, Lord, we have families who are in vacation. We have families who are ill. We pray that your presence be in each one of them, and that they be able to enjoy their vacation and be able to have comfort if they are ill, so that they may restore their life. Oh, Father, thank you that you can be everywhere. Thank you, Lord. As we close this prayer, we ask your blessings of grace and truth upon our life today. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Will you stand, please, and open the hymn books at number 198. In all hymn, there is power in the blood. 198, there is power in the blood, please. Heavenly Father, we are grateful once again for your provision for the ministry. And we are grateful that last week we have a good week of work. And so now we bring this offering in proportion to our income. And so we pray that you bless the giver and bless the offering in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, choir. As they sang today, that's a prelude of part of the cantata that will be presented by Bethel Baptist Church in 2 weeks by our choir. I hope you're able to attend and to enjoy the blessing and praise that we will give to God. Now it's time for you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew. And you will find the reading of that Bible on page 842. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. So then neither is he that watereth anything, neither he that planteth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. Glory unto thee, Almighty God. It is by thy mercy and grace that we live through thy sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as thy word reveals, O Lord God, we do nothing but to minister thy gospel. You are the one that saves. We ask, Almighty God, that you'll be with your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims that gospel, that you will use it, O Lord God, to call more of thy children into thy kingdom by letting it enter into the hearts and souls of those who do not know you, making them children of God also. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Close the door behind you. Drop your bags on the floor. You reach for the light, but there's darkness deep inside. You can't take it anymore. 'Cause sometimes living takes the life out of you. And sometimes living is all you can do. Life is hard. The world is cold. We're barely young, and then tear is always understood. Life is hard, but God is good. to cry, 'cause you've been strong for so long. But that's not how you feel. You try to pray, but there's nothing left to say. So you just quietly kneel. And in the silence of all that you face, God will give you His mercy and grace. Jesus never said it was an easy road to travel. He only said that you would never be alone. When your last thread of hope begins to come unravel, He'll walk beside you on this journey home. For He knows life is hard, the world is cold. We're barely young, and then we're old. But every fallen tear,
like to a moment of prayer, and then we move to 1 Corinthians, where we are working the study of this letter and what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church today. Let's pray together. Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus, and we come in to the presence of God as Terry had the song, God is Good. Jesus said that only the Father is good. So Father, knowing that God is good, we pray that the Holy Spirit will enable us to understand the scripture. Anoint my lips that I may proclaim with purity Thy word. Then Father, we pray that we, the people of God, may receive Your word with gladness. Whether those people are here in the auditorium or there in the large audience of KKMC, Father, we pray that You will be merciful and gracious to reveal the truth of Your word to us so that we may apply it to our daily walk. Thank You for Corinthians. Thank You for dictating that letter to Paul. Now, Father, cause us to understand it. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Just to give you a focus on the paragraph today that's going to be in chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, I'd like to mention a few things about Corinthians that you need to know. The reason for the letter. What originated the letter? In chapter 7 of the same letter of Corinthians, and in verse 1, you have the clue. The reason why God dictated to the Apostle Paul this letter. In chapter 7, verse 1, the Apostle says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me." Paul was across the land in Ephesus, and the church had questions. If you read the whole letter, you learn the church was in a mess. There is no other church in the Bible in which the real problems of the church were open to the public. And this church was a mess. And some people in the church, and people argue about this, who was it, have a common sense to say, well, let's go back to the one who found this church, the Apostle Paul, and let's ask him about these questions. And so, in the goodness of God, whatever happened in this church happened every day. It's like writing to us today. And so the church, the reason for the letter, it was that we got in trouble and we are in problems. And you will learn later on, problems, if you never can hear these, a son is sleeping with his father's wife and things like that. I mean, immoral and all kinds of trouble. But we are the children of God. What are we going to do about it? It's like you and your home. Hey, we got troubles in home. What are we going to do about it? Well, if you're a child of God, there is a solution. And the solution is in the Word. Not in the pastor and any longer, but in the Word, see. And so here we have a remarkable letter who answer a number of questions. And the apostle then writes the letter in the Hebrew style. First the positive, then the negative. And so he gave us instructions at the beginning. Remember in verse 2, in chapter 1 and in verse 2, he said, you are called to be saints. You are a child of God, not because of what you have done, not because of what you produce or what you have given to God. You are a child of God because God in his mighty power and under his authority has chosen you to be a child of God. So feel good about it. You are a child of God regardless of your performance. Wow, what a comfort. That relaxed the people. Then in verse 4, he said, not only you are a child of God because God has elected you, but look at the benefits of being a child of God. Verse 4 said these remarkable words, for the grace of God which is given you. God has given you his grace. You know what that means? God has given you what you do not deserve. That's what that means. Say, look at the benefits. You don't deserve your work. You don't deserve to breathe every day. You don't deserve your wife and your children or your husband. You don't deserve the salvation, the knowledge of God. You don't deserve anything like that. And God has given this to you. Wow. Now, once he get them back on the rock, he said, I'm going to give you some exhortation. So first he gave instructions, and then exhortations. And you remember, we studied some of them, and the first exhortation was from chapter 1 to chapter 4, there was division in the church. On Thanksgiving Day, I think that this was, in our church life, on 15 years of church life, the best Thanksgiving I ever experienced in the church. Because every man that came here and gave testimony said, we have peace, we have unity. And you don't know what this pastor was experiencing in the back. I want to cry. So that's the dream of every pastor, to have a church who think alike, who moves alike. And only God can do that, not the pastor. And so I thank Raz and I thank the other men that came, and Brother Dulilo and all of these who come. They come here because there is a unity in God. Well, this church did not have it. This church, according, were divided. And they were divided theologically. Look at chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. They were divided theologically. See, let's talk the same language, he said. And so remember, I have a sermon on that. And then the church was divided because there was a humanistic philosophy brought in. Look at in verse 22, chapter 1. For the Jew requires signs, that want miracles and wonders. And the Greeks seek after wisdom, philosophy. The Greeks want the philosophy of human being. What's going on, he said with you. Remember? The foolishness of God. I preached a sermon to address that issue of philosophy. So the church was divided. No, we have to believe like these philosophers. And no, we need miracles and signs and wonders in order to believe. The church was divided. The church also was divided because of biblical interpretation. Some of the people said, well, God spoke to me yesterday in the morning. As I was taking the breakfast, I took a jalapeno, and after the jalapeno, I spoke in tongues or whatever. This happened today, but happened then. I don't know how it happened then, but so they were divided how to interpret the Bible. Some people said, well, the Lord told me. And so God carefully,
very carefully, said, there is divine revelation, remember? And there is inspiration. And the pronouns are used, we, us. The apostles are the only inspirers. But then in verse 13 said, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. How? Comparing a spiritual thing with a spiritual thing. And so Paul, God in a marvelous way, secured the revelation of God and the inspiration of God to few men, as Peter 1 verse 21 said, holy men of God spoke when God revealed to them. But those holy men of God wrote the Bible. And when they wrote the Bible, they gave us the inspiration of God. And as we compare pages of the Bible back and forth, we get the revelation of God today. No man on this earth can come to knock your door and say, the Lord told me yesterday this, that he's a liar. Tell him to eat the jalapenos and stay in home. I tell you, it indignated me when people trying to play God. God wrote the book. And verse 13 is so clear. It said that as we look into the issues of life and take that issue in a concordance, and you move on, you get the whole message from God. Now there was another division. And I hope you don't get mad at me today. We got the Lord's Supper, so you better be kind to me. And we have another division. It's going to be tough because that division will touch all of us. The division was personal, secret sin in the life of people. And this personal, secret sin came out. Verses 1 to 9 talks about men of flesh. Men of flesh. And that doesn't say men as a male, but anthropos, mankind in the. So in verses 1 to 9, the apostle points out to them that they also were divided, and now not because an outsider, not because of a philosophy, not because of a position in theology, not because of a remarkable way to interpret the Bible. They were divided because they were sinful in their nature, and that sin flows through. And he explained it. He does three things for these people. He said, now, when I hear what happened over there, let me tell you this. Here is the cause, and here is the symptom. But the apostle said, here's the cure. Thank God. Here's the cause. Here's the symptom. When you see these symptoms in your life, that is not the church problem. That's not the pastor problem. That's you with sin in your life. And then here's the cure. Now, don't get mad at me. As I said, we had the Lord's Supper. We had the Via Pizza after the service. But it is my obligation as a pastor to counsel you with the Word of God right forward into your life. Now let's study the cause, verses 1 to 3. The cause of this tremendous problem, sinful problem in the church. Verses 1 to 3. The cause, remember, was internal. Was not something external. They cannot blame theology. They cannot blame philosophy. They cannot blame anything. The apostle said, now, for more I hear about you people, here is another issue why you are divided. There is a remarkable cause, and it's internal. Now, number one, in that internal cause, they were surrendering to the pressure of the flesh, the Adamic thinking. Look at in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto a spiritual, and I'm going to add the word, I don't know why the King James don't put it, unto a spiritual man, but as unto carnal. The word carnal is not really expressing. As to men of flesh. That will be the word. And so that will be the proper translation. He said, I cannot speak to you as a spiritual man. I came to speak to you as a spiritual man, man of flesh. I can believe it, he said. You are surrendering to the pressure. So even as to babes in Christ, even I listen to you and I know that you know nothing about God. I'm impressed about that. They were surrendering to the pressure of the flesh. So, boy, I listen. more I hear, more I read these letters that came to me, more I can perceive that you are not behaving as Christians behave in the new nature. You are behaving in the old nature. And you are letting the old nature, the Adamic nature, the manhood, the anthropological nature control your life rather than Christ controlling your life, he said. That's the issue. In verse 2, he said, they could not yet spiritually digest solid food. Look at in verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. In other words, I have given you milk, he said, to drink, and no solid food, he said. And there is a reason for it. Look at what he said. For hitherto, you were not able to bear it. For you were not able to receive it. Really, that was the key. Indeed, even now, you are not yet able. He said, the more I look into the evidence of what you said and what happened in the church, I can perceive that nobody is on the solid foot of the Word of God, living godly in that church. What's wrong with you, Christian? He said. Even if I give you a lecture on the deep things of God, you cannot receive it. You know, that's the problem sometimes that we pastors have. We study the Word, and then in enthusiasm of the Word, we bring those deep things of God. I remember my first years in the pastorship when my professor of Hebrew and the chairman of languages at the seminary, he took the chair for 2 or 3 Sundays as we went to Argentina for the first time. And he told me, he said, you know, you are lecturing those people like you are teaching a seminary. He said, come down, man, come down. You're very high. And sometimes we pastors get full of enthusiasm in the Word, and we bring that solid food of the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God and all this. And some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you are living on the flesh. And not making any good. And the apostle said, this is what happened with you. You are so fleshly, so human, that you are not listening to me. Now in verse 3, at the very beginning, he said, for ye are yet carnal. The translation should be, for you are still fleshly. Wow. Wow. Fleshly in the sense of being. No, that was not. They were not fleshly in the sense of being, but in the sense of behaving. There's a big difference in that. If I say to you, you are fleshly, you are being fleshly, means you are an unbeliever. That's what I say. But in this case, I think the apostle is saying, your behavior is a behavior that detects a fleshly man, man of flesh. That's what it is. And so what is the cause of the problem now? Why one is against the other? One this party. Remember, I'm Apollos. I'm of Peter. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Paul. Why this division in the church? Because flesh comes out. Why somebody say, I want science. No, I want philosophy. I want this. I want the other. Why this division in the church? Because the flesh is coming out. The human being without the control of God. You know what that means, the flesh? The humanity of ours, the nature that God gave us in Adam is coming out without that restriction from the Holy Spirit. Without being controlled by the Spirit of God. And when we behave, you know, some of you say, I had a high temper. That means a given moment in your life, you let your temper control you rather than the Spirit of God. That's what that means. You understand that? And those people were behaving like that. They were behaving in a way that they were not listening, looking into the Bible, what God said about this and what God said about the other. They were really crashing with each other. And the apostle said, for all these, I think this is the cause. Now, what symptom? What symptom gave the apostle the authority to say that? I shall explain for us. Here's the symptom, verse 3 to 4. In verse 3, we learned that was a self-centeredness. Now, what is self-centeredness? They're saying, me, me, and me. Look at verse 3. For ye is still in the flesh. For whereas there is among you envy or jealousy, and a strife and divisions, Are ye not carnal and walk as men of flesh? You are still fleshly, said the apostle. For since there is jealousy, he said. Jealousy kills people. I want Brother Presti Jacobo's car. What if he get a new car? Oh, and you get jealousy like that. That kills you. And people start talking. Why? I remember the day I bought a new car in the old church I have, and two members of the church quit. But they don't know my wife was working in the bank, and I got the car about half price and a 3% interest. They don't know all these details behind their wheels. But they get jealous. So why the pastor have a new car and I don't have a new car? So they went to another church where the pastor has an old car. It's not terrible. Jealousy. You know, we laugh. This is a stupidity that somebody will leave the church and go to a church and check if the pastor has an old car, well, that's a good church. But when I went to Majestic Church in New Jersey, Pastor Herman Brownlee, my mentor, he told me, never buy a new car. It's too late. I already did. 4,000 member church, rich as can be. I sleep in homes where they know the we're in gold. They say, you buy a new car? The people say, oh, look at the pastor. Said, there are certain sacrifices you made. So I said, I will not buy a Mercedes. I let the people give it to me, but not buy it. Self-centeredness. Me. He says, some of you, one of you, are jealous of each other. Some of you are a strife. They say this and they say the other. And they cause difficulties in the church and cause division. And you know why? He said, look in verse 3, because you walk as men of flesh. Can you believe it? In the church of God, we are all saints here in the morning. But as you leave this place, be careful, because you can walk as men of flesh. So people are saying, this is my time. This is my money. I will not give to the church. This is my money. When the Bible said you start giving a 10% of your income, people say, oh no, that's terrible. No, I will not do that. This is my money. When the pastor said, when you do this, no, this is my time. I will not do that. This is my house. This is my theology. And some people leave. So, no, I believe in this way. And they leave. They don't obey the pastor. They don't obey authority. Friday night, I overheard in my office as I was studying, we have a class on parenting. And the speaker in the television was talking about authority. We lost that today. Authority. We lost it in the home, where children call their parents by their first name. If I did that in my home, I'd be dead today. Because my mother had good hands, but my father, he can pull the shoes and whip, whack on you off. You respect it. You call him sir. And you call him in the third person. I was glad because when I went to the army, I already was disciplined. When I went to a school, I already was disciplined. Self-centeredness. It's me and me and me. And then verse 4 tells us that they have immature behavior. Personality choice. That's immature behavior. Look at verse 4. For one of you say, I am of Paul, said. I like Paul preaching. And the other said, I like Apollos. So when you do that, when you say this preacher is better than the other preacher, you have to understand this, that you are men of flesh. That's what the flesh does. You know, I'm able to listen to anybody on television. Some of the preachers get me mad, but I learn some things from everybody. I have learned that discipline. I will not say this preacher is better than the other preacher. If you ask me to recommend a preacher, I maybe say who. But concerning their faults and mistakes, let them deal with God. And I listen to everybody. I listen to a guy who I don't like it today, but he has a good sermon. And I have to say this. When a preacher goes to the Word of God and preaches the Word of God, doesn't matter what his name is, he come out all right. Because the Word of God is good. If we proclaim the Word of God, doesn't matter our name. But the problem is with us is we have humanness and we have flesh. And then we put our flesh is when we do this. And so there was an immature behavior in the church. So I like the assistant pastor so much. Listen, this problem is today. I preach in a church with 8,000 members, 4,000 in one auditorium, 4,000 in the other with TV. We're watching. And there were 10 pastors. I mean, doctor's degree from all kinds of university. And as I walk in, I said to them, why me? He said, well, the senior pastor is on vacation. But you have 10 others right there. 10,000 times better than me. Why me? He said, you come and go. But if one of those guys preach and some of the congregation like it, there is a division. Why so-and-so don't preach more than the other man preached, and the poor senior pastor cannot preach? So these other pastors are to do their job and never to speak, because so the people don't like them, only like one man. You know, Samson, the same thing. Look in verse 4. Some people say Apollos, some people said this, some people said the other. See, a fleshly behavior comes out and moves on in this. I want to tell you this. Selfishness is one of the most obvious characteristics of this babyhood. Now, some of you still have babies in this church. And I tell you, when the baby wants something, doesn't look around and say, let's see if mama is busy or papa is busy. No, when the baby wants something, he's like, wah! You don't pay attention to it, but the baby goes, the thing is all right. What's wrong with the baby? There's nothing wrong. When you are there, the baby comes down. No, you go, you leave. As soon as you leave, the baby goes again. You go over there. During the day, that's okay with me. But during the night, when I go in to visit my granddaughters, I just plug the pillow. And my wife said, oh, last night they went the whole night up. So how good. I don't hear anybody. But I tell you, baby, why they do that? They're selfish. You put a nice room for the baby. You put the best bed and the sheets and the little thing that and you put everything for the baby. But the baby wants you. And as soon as you leave the room, the baby goes, and you go over there and I see my son-in-law, and then he goes to his bed, and 20 minutes after, he's really getting drunk again. Selfishness. That's what the church of God does to the pastor. That's what the church does with the pastor. An infant life is almost totally self-centered, selfish. If the baby is hungry, he's not going to wait till you cook. The baby wants them. Now, there's guilt to them. And some people have no growth, and there is a selfishness in our life that comes out, that I guess never leave us. It's got different expressions, but never leave us. A husband is very selfish. I don't know how many times a husband has told me in my office, my wife doesn't take care of me. And I know what that means. And I laugh about it. Because I'm a husband too. It's selfishness. What about me? What about me? In this church, the personality clash. So I want that pastor to know that there was selfishness. Enjoy when a man preaches. And receive the word as much as you can receive it. And Paul said, when the preacher is not preaching the word, drop it. Drop it. Don't even consider. And so this church, the symptom is selfishness. And when you protest and argue with your husband and wife, and because it's me, you know you are wrong already. Selfishness. Now, what's the cure? Verses 5 to 9 give us the cure. I think in verse 5, 6, and 7 said, you turn away from yourself. Look at that. Look at verse 5. Who then is Paul? I'm glad he is included. Who then is Paul? What then is Apollos? Servants through whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. You know, the preachers, he said, come on, don't put your faith in that preacher and your faith in the other preacher. These are just servants. Look at verse 6. Look at what he said. I planted, say Apollo. I'm the founder of the church. I planted. Now, Apollos was, he was trained in Egypt. He was superb. You listen to Apollos. You listen to a lecture. And what he say about Apollos? He said, Apollos watered it. But you know who gave the growth of the church? Look at in verse 6. But God was causing the growth. As one man started the foundation and another man teaches to build that, then God gave us the growth. And no one's seeing that in our church. As the material of Sunday school is produced for our church, and as you teachers take that material seriously and go to your class, and with eagerness you teach, God is giving the growth of the church. The material cannot be praised. The pastor cannot be praised. Or the altars to help the pastor to correlate and do things cannot be praised. Only God. When the material talks about God and you teach in your class about God, God will give the increase. Isn't that fantastic? What is the cure? Turn away from self. Look at in verse 7. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither the he that watered. You see that? So then neither the one who plant nor the one who water is anything. We are just instruments in the hands of God. And so he is saying, turn away from self. Turn away from self. My job. My this and my the other. It's hard for us men as male to do that. The first excuse we have is, oh, I had to work. That's the first excuse we have. My wife said, we had to put lights in this section and lights in the other, and instantaneously, without myself, I had to make an effort to think. I said, well, I have some writings to make. The lights have to be done. And then you think for yourself. You're married. You have a responsibility. You are the protector of your wife. You are the one who sacrificed yourself like Jesus sacrificed for the church. And then very soon you said, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And with joy, I put a whole day to select lights. Some ladies are different than the other ladies. Some ladies go to the store and say, these lights. My wife's different. She said, it's very picky on the lights. So I had to have patience with that. But that's the wife God gave me. And then you have to fight within yourself. My work. My work. I enjoy 10 hours sitting in the desk and reading. I can be 20 hours reading. I can be the whole night reading and writing on the side. But that's what I want. Me, self, will cause division in my home if I will not go to bed at the time my wife goes to bed. As a matter of fact, I warm up the bed before my wife goes, and then I go first waiting for my wife. I'm excited about it. Now, I know I could spend time and time doing other things, but when self comes into the way, destroy your home, destroy everything, and destroy the church. So what's the cure? Put away from self. And what are you going to do then? Verse 7, at the end of verse 7, set your eyes upon Jesus. Look what he says in verse 7. By God who caused the growth. You praise the name of God like the choir did this morning. You praise God every day for his mercies upon our life. He do not give you what you deserve. Ain't no fantastic our God? He's merciful. We don't deserve all the things we have, but God in mercy gave it to us. It says, absolutely, I go through my home sometimes, and it's absolutely incredible the things that we have. Yesterday, we were walking in the stores and looking on it, and my mind flashed about 50 years ago when I was in my country, and only the rich people can go to the store, and only the rich people can buy this, and only the rich people can buy the other. And we just got a little piece of tree from someplace in our home, And I tell you, I never thought I was poor either. I was happy. The mercy of God in our life. The mercy of God. So setting your eyes upon God. Now, you need to have a proper understanding of who you are. Look at what verse 8 and 9 said. Now, he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Here's what we are. We are laborers together with God. We are fellow workers with God. That's what we are. And look at what the Bible says. Who we are. We are God's field. Husbandry means the field where you plant. We are God's field and we are God's building. We all together. The apostle said, me and you and everybody, the pastor and the deacons and the church, the pastor, the elders and the deacons and the church and the teachers, we together, we are the field that God works. We are a God's building. So Paul and Apollos were God's fellow workers. It was not their own ministry that they work in, but God's ministry. And so the believers there were God's field and they were God's building, and the whole thing was God's alone. Isn't that beautiful? So he said, I perceive you got problems. And the problem is in your fleshly manhood and womanhood, is you are selfish. You got a wife who demands from the husband over and over and over things, you got problems. Because you got a wife who is selfish. You got a husband who forgets about the wife and cares less about her needs. And boy, you got problems. And I don't care how much you man said, I need it. You have to divide yourself somewhere, somehow, between your work and your home, because your home comes first. God, home, and work. And when you put those three things in line, you got a happy home, you got a gorgeous work, and you got a blessing from God. You change around the priority, you got a mess. And I don't care how many psychologists can counsel you, until you reverse the priorities, God, home, and work, you will not have blessings. And then I was talking to somebody and said to me, well, what about me? See, he's talking about in the flesh again. In the flesh. You parents who have baby know that the me disappeared a long time ago. Especially in our church, we have some who have more than four or five. And you know that when you have four children and or five children, the me goes away. My daughter just with three, her time and her things goes away. The children consume your time and take your priority. So now I'm going to, before I pray, and you're still my friend, I hope, I'm going to ask you the $4 million question. And it's this. Are you, ladies and gentlemen, a spiritual man or fleshly man? When we work in our life, when we leave this church, and when tomorrow is the testing time, when tomorrow we start working and start living the regular daily life, are we men of flesh or are we a spiritual man? That's the clue. You say, well, how do I know, Pastor? Well, it's very simple. Where are your priorities? Where you spend your money? Where you spend your time? Whatever you do, where you spend most of your time. In other words, does God have the priority of your life? Does your family have the priority of your life? Does your work have the strength of your life? If you put all the money away from the home and the church and so on, just to please yourself, then you're in trouble. Oh, may God bless us. May God give us a strong and wonderful desire. See, God has to cause this. We cannot produce it. But may God give us a desire to say, I will dedicate my life to please Him. And as you please God, remember what Pastor Fortner said 2 years ago, I guess, when he had his last sermon? God said, give it all to me. And when you give all your life to Him, what did he say? Now it's back to you. And I tell you, that's exactly right. You give your life to God. You dedicate it to get up in the morning and read His Word. You pray for your wife. You pray for your children. Man, let the family see you as a man of God. Then you will enjoy the rest of you. You don't have to think about me. God will arrange that your wife will please you, that your children will obey you, and your neighbor will respect you. I tell you, when we are in the flesh, we make a mess. When we are in the spirit, God is honored, and He takes care of the rest. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful exhortation today. Help me as a man not to be a man of flesh, but to be a spiritual man, that my wife will see it, that this church will respect it. help every man as a male here in the church to be a man of the Spirit. And help every lady to grow in the Spirit in such a way that we, men and wives, husband and wife, single people, we all have one thing in mind. We're going to glorify God. And everything that happened in our life is because of God. Oh, Father, bless us and touch us with that very presence of the mighty God. Help us to move away the eyes of our flesh from us. And as the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to look upon him for direction. And help us not to be like the church of Corinth, that were in strife and in problems and difficulties, not because of the outside world, because of the internal turmoil of fighting the flesh. Oh, help us, oh God, help us to be dedicated. Help us to be in your church and to learn. Help us to go on in life learning about you and practicing what we learn. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. For supper today.
Thank you.
you. I'd like bring the deacons here, Brother Mike and Brother Victor and Brother Cassandra.